to see again, my sweet love, oh, me boys. Oh, la, oh, la, la, la. Pick a la baleine, joli baleinier. Pick a la baleine, je naviguer. A thousand seas I'll sail, me boys. Oh, la, pique la baleine, je vais naviguer. The seas of the north and the seas of the south. Oh, la, oh, la, la, la. Pique la baleine, joli baleinier. Pique la baleine, je vais naviguer. Out of the great depths I dream of her. Oh, la, oh, la, la, la. Pick a la baleine, joli baleinier. Pick a la baleine, je vais naviguer. Together with her, I would lay myself down. Oh, la, pique la baleine, je vais naviguer. A rencontrer mes douces amies, oh, my boys. Oh, la, oh, la, la, la. Pique la baleine, joli baleinier. Pique la baleine, je vais naviguer. Oh, mille mers, je navigue, oh, my boys. Hola, hola, la, la. Pique la baleine, joli baleinier. Pique la baleine, je vais naviguer. De mer du nord, en mer du sud, oh, me boys. Hola, hola, la, la. Pique la baleine, joli baleinier. Pique la baleine, je vais naviguer. En couple à elle, me suis couché, oh, me boys. Oh, la, oh, la, la, la. Pique la baleine, joli baleinier. Pique la baleine, je vais naviguer.
Thank you. Well, sorry.
Is there a workshop on sea songs in foreign languages? I know they had proposed it today.
Well, this is doubling.
This is
that.
Doubling. Is it? There was. I thought there was going to be one. And there's one on immigration tomorrow. I'm in with Hostock and McLeod and Jeff Kaufman, and there'll be some singing, perhaps in Scots Gaelic and in Sicilian and Yiddish. I know some Sicilian songs that have nothing to do with the sea, so I'm not singing them for this one. But they came from immigrants, I know. There's one from Liverpool. In the middle of the 1800s, Liverpool was inhabited greatly by Irish seamen and also by Irish young ladies who were looking for work in that great port city. As the seamen prepared to leave for such places as New York. And this is a song about one of them, a lady named Maggie May, who practiced a waterfront profession. She was, a sail maker. Canning Place and Lime Street are two cities on the waterfront in Liverpool. And of course, Botany Bay is a penal colony. Van Diemen Land is Tasmania, which was also a penal colony, named after Van Diemen, a Dutch explorer. Chorus says, Maggie, Maggie, May, they've taken you away to toil upon Van Diemen's cruel shore. You've robbed so many sailors, so many whalers, and so many drunken sailors, but you'll never cruise down Lime Street anymore. Apparently she was overcharging them for the sails.
This song is Dolly Nellie Gray, My Little Old Sod Shanty on the Claim, Aggravating Beauty, Lugal Walls. So if you don't know this song, but it sounds familiar, it's got 20 different tunes.
Last night, that this would be a good song to do on the button accordion because, as Bob mentioned in the last workshop, which some of you I know were here for, this particular kind of melodeon is used very extensively on the French, well, on sailing ships, and it's very well documented on Breton boats as well. I'm not extremely proficient, so to sing the words and play the thing confuses me slightly. We'll try it.
Seasons, as she put it, and she doesn't even get as a pardon favor now to bury him. And she also feels sorry for her sister, but although she's in mourning, once she gets into company, she'll put her sadness behind her. And then she goes on to her own feelings and says, when the girls come around and the fiddle sings, I won't go to the dance. They won't look at me anyway. And often I'm going up and down the mountain and looking out towards sea, and I don't see the boat coming with my sweetheart, the rudder. So this is the song. It's got a chorus, fairly long chorus, which I'll just sing at the beginning and the end. And then it's got the verses. Er fa-la-deen, yi-ya-deen, yi-ya-deen, you. Er fa-la-deen, yi-ya-deen, you. Ha-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra. Er fa-la-deen, yi-ya-deen, yi-ya-deen, you. S'morem be. The whole quam of vigre per san yaman stugan his jagan honor staff gang a hagrum. Struggle rina hana nachke neiche as me mahofker, smig awgam bachto gat the hoster akrum. Nr hikar ga saur it's vias imre ger pension haj megan valet house hagat down me call you
Lungs truot o dhet fag if you will treat a ins nach to a rito ga the fig at harik sanur. Ha yulium to fiur ga ta I foguach nor a heiti mes huchach heiti moa terko. Mae'r haid o ddeg, mae'r haid mewn yw'r frer yn strwyl na'ch misio, fe wad yw'r sfo bach dy sfo hiwyl. Nor y hig o chwal ni yn sy'n y sy'n ni o, cymer ieir ysmach I sgynnw ti'n morwm. Strich mi gydig sa tjernig nang glan rysha han arch han neist mi tjin am bat is ma grag stjur falerin I arin jeg kjerin ju falerin I arin ju hororio falerin I arin jeg kjerin.
I recently moved to Minnesota, which is known for its seafaring traditions.
Ever since the great Mississippi whale.
Right. It's actually the home of freshwater whaling, but we won't get into that today. Let's see here. I'll sing a song in Norwegian, and I'll follow it with sing it in English.
Distant port pretty soon. She'll be taking the Orient New London ferry over here. Okay. And that is when Talitha will be leaving for Orient from New London to the distant port. My wife and I have had 19
very nice years together. Almost. If we can make it through 3 more days, we'll have 19 years. So, thank you. Well, when you're only 23, that's a long time. This is a song from Liverpool, early 1800s. And the ending of the song is exactly as it happened in my life. I took the advice of the song. Then I found the song and said, gee, I took its advice and I didn't even know it at the time.
Singing here.
What
just the similarities to my life.
That always happens. Why should I?
Some southern ones.
Actually, I just lived there for a summer with my dad.
I lived in Virginia for 3 years, and I just picked them up from singers.
So you have an
Oh, it was the English ones.
Mr. Gadner. How are you, Mr. Gadner?
Are you? I was possibly related to the Boynton family.
I started doing it, and my husband's grandfather was born in Sullivan County, and that area was sort of from the descendant of one of the brothers from Sullivan. So somewhere along the line, that's right. We've gone to Shelter Island quite a bit and gone to camping in Hot Dog, but I guess when we go to Shelter Island, we pass where the lighthouse is. I discovered that on a day when it was closed, unfortunately. And I've always been to write.
My wife is a historical museum, which is big genealogical.
Yeah.
That would be the place to write.
You don't have a card with something on it.
In fact, she'll be here later
than
that. Maggie May is on their album called
Julia.
Across the West.
Yeah.
Some swamp thing.
First person I heard sing French Candy. Who's the song that I enjoy very much?
And he had three sons, one of whom was my great grandfather, who also became a minister. He came to New York and became a minister. And his family was more than that for about 25 years. So I'm having a lot of projections. Mariners, Church, and Mariners.
You can feel the heat and humidity as the people bring in that.
Well, you choose one. Yes, of course.
I will write. I know there were four brothers or seven brothers or something. So,
then there's another, a lot of Alex in the Rocky Point area. I'm familiar with that, just east of Fort Jefferson.
Yeah.
Alex Landing Road. Two centers of
You're talking about Alex.
Borton's, I mean, oh gosh. My brain is very high. Borton's, okay, the Borton's are in South Oakland. Where else are they? Yeah, I guess South Oakland's Borton's. I started thinking of how, because I said Borton Lane.
You know you are up too late.
Borton Landing Road, I think, is a good one. I want to say how it
sounds like a good idea.
Great, thanks very much.
Enjoy
them.
Yeah, you and
your boys. If you're related to the Hortons, you're related to the Howards.
Okay. I'm sure that's.
And also the Youngs.
The Youngs? Okay.
It's impossible not to be. 500th cousin.
I've never seen that.
Whenever you're ready.
What makes it clear there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's,
for the next hour here, we have a very interesting program. I'd like to spend about 45 minutes of that time introducing our next performer because I think it's a tremendous act, but I won't take up any more his time or yours other than to have you get comfortable, relax, and enjoy the next hour with Glenn Gordon.
Thanks, Jim. What I'm going to be doing is what we call role-playing here. And contrary to what the program says, I'm not the creator of the role-playing program at Mystic Seaport. I was one of two people who was sort of assigned the duty of getting a role-playing program underway here. And as such, I wasn't even one of the original role-players. In fact, I'm the role-player, somebody standing right over there. We've gone through a cadre of them over the years. Right now we have about 11 active role-players, which happen to include Dan Cohen, Jeff Kaufman and Craig Edwards. All three of our shanty men are also role players. And a whole passel of other folks. Bob Crowley was a really good one, as long as we have, but then he ran away, went to sea again. So, anyway, I didn't create it, but I have always enjoyed it. The idea in role playing is to, here at Mystic at least, is to research the period, research the life of a seafarer, whether it be male or female, and then assume that character wholly and completely. My character's name happens to be Josiah Gardner. He's a first mate, and I have constructed for him a personal history, which includes his family and his hometown, and all of his experiences since leaving that family and hometown. And the way I did that is typical of what others have done. Taken many, many hours over at a research library around the corner here, and put it all together, documenting all of the ships, all of the events. So any tale that you hear me tell is someone's tale. Josiah Gardner is actually a composite of maybe 12 or 15 people, taking interesting experiences from different lives and putting them together to make it more interesting and educational for all of us. So in any case, what we have to do, obviously, since we're not on Charles W. Morgan or on the village, we have to use our imaginations a little bit, and I ask you to do that. We try to help your imaginations out a little with authentic costumes, the sort of thing you would have found a sailor wearing during the 1870s. Sort of ditty bag that a seafarer would make up and carry his goods in. And with this sort of information. If we add all those things up and include them along with your imagination, I think we can be well on our way. We'll ignore our setting here. And I'm going to depart, actually. I'm going to turn away. And when I turn away, Glenn Gordonier will depart the room. When this body turns back to you, you will be faced with Josiah Gardner, first mate in Deepwater Sailor. And he'll tell you all about that. That's my name, Josiah Gardner. Mr. Gardner. Is what you call him, because I'm the first mate. Second in command. I mean, does all the work, you understand? Everybody knows a fella what's number two does all the work, and that's the case with me. That's why you call me Mr. Gardner. And I ain't from these parts. I ain't down east, I ain't been a seafarer all my life. I'm a Pennsylvania boy, born and bred, Springtown, Pennsylvania, farm boy. Figured I'd always be a farm boy. Then the war come along, and that changed everything. I joined up. Joined 155th Pennsylvania Volunteer Infantry. Seen the Battle of Fredericksburg, the Battle of Gettysburg. Some skirmishing in between. I seen the elephant. And that changed everything, you understand? Now I was doing all right, doing my duty. Till the summer of 63, spring of 63 is what it was. We was chasing Bobby Lee up north, see? As we was moving on up toward the Pennsylvania border, I started to straggle. Couldn't keep up. First time I ain't done my duty, see? Couldn't keep up with the boys. I was falling behind in the line of march. Old Colonel Allen, he seen me. He knew that I was a good boy. Put me up on his horse. That's the kind of man he was. And I rode his horse to keep up with the boys. After a day or two of that, I couldn't keep to his horse no more. I was tumbling off. So he took me down, put me in a company ambulance. That's how I made it to the battlefield at Gettysburg, in the company ambulance. Now, some of you folks from East Parks may remember the fighting went on up on top of Little Round Top. Old 20th Maine boys was up there chasing them Texans back down the other side. Well, we helped them out, see? I missed all that because I was still in the ambulance, but I got up there about sundown. Make a long story short, when the boys headed back south, a few days later, they left me behind. See, it was the camp fever. I was all broke up with it. Couldn't walk, couldn't do nothing. Spent the summer of 63 there at the hospital with the other boys. One's what got shot up. But with me, it was the camp fever. Near killed me on several occasions. Come fall, my fever broke, and I was too broke up to go back, so they sent me home to my daddy. And that's how I finished out the war, back on the farm. But as I say, you understand that everything's been changed. I seen the elephant. I seen the great dismal swamp. And I seen the capital D's here, the United States. So I haven't seen that. When the war ends, all them fellas come home looking for work, then I lit out, see, in 65. And I went to sea. Johnny on my first ship, become chief engineer. And he says to himself, "Hold on here, Mr. Gardner, you take me for a fool. You're going to tell me a pack of lies that you was in the war, broke up, went off and joined up in 65 and become first engineer? Nobody becomes first engineer in the first vessel. But it's the truth. I joined up with the Lehigh Coal and Navigation Company. Canal boat company, see? We was bringing coal on out of Maw Chunk up to Bristol, Pennsylvania. Now, when you was chief engineer in the canal boat, he just walks down that towpath, see? He switches that mule. You watch where he steps and everything turned out just fine, see? So I was chief engineer. That's what I done. So I seen all that, and I worked at their canal for summer, and come fall, I'm up into Bristol, and seen all these here vessels in there, see? All sorts of them. Deep water vessels and coasters, and I figured I was going to sign on, see that part of the world. So I signed on with two stickers by the name of the Wayman, out of Mays Landing, New Jersey. Captain William Barrett. Most of the boys on board called him Captain Billy. See, they know him since they was boys, and was a small vessel thief. Small vessel like that thing isn't micro lax. It ain't like the St. Nicholas. When you's on a little two-sticker, the old man, captain, he might eat his meals right with you. If he's interested, he might even do some cooking himself. If I was called by his first name, it's easy living. But don't much matter what size vessel he's on. When the old man gives you an order, he follows that order. The old man's word is law. Take my advice. When the old man tells you jump quick. Found this out in the first passage down east. We come down past New York, come into Rockaway Beach. Hauled in there, pick up some Rockaway Beach sand. Get yourself on down the tavern here. You find it all across the floor. Finest, whitest sand you find anywhere in the world. Rockaway Beach sand. So, a little vessel like that, you wait for high tide, you run her up onto the sand. See, the tide drops you. Roll over on your bilge. Get your planks down, you just start shoveling sand off the beach, roll her up here in the wheelbarrow. See? So he's carrying beach sand. Well, we head on down to Boston, put into Newport for a chance along, changing the tide. Well, this here, as I say, is in the fall, so of course the yachts, folks, they's all left. Most of them, a few left over. Well, as we work our way to a Newport, come around Point Hugh, the old man, he told me what he thinks of them yachtsmen fellas. He calls them fair weather sailors. Daytime sailors, the sun goes down, they all runs in for port, see? He lets me know what he thinks of them. Well, he comes in, we see one or two of them big guys, they're sitting out in the harbor. He drops their hook, and the old man's got some business in town. He said, "Boy," says, "lower the boat." He don't answer me, he tells him. So I lower his boat, and I rows him in town. He hops up on the wharf, he says, "Stay there, boy." I said, "Yes, sir." So I hang on to the wharf. Of course, the tides are going out, so I hang on to the wharf, and I hang on to the wharf. never mind me. I was waiting for him, see? By and by, I hear out in the harbor, chirp, 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 chirp. And I peer out, and there's a steam launch out there coming my way. She's all bright working brass. See, I figure it's from one of them guys. Sure enough, chirp, chirp, chirp. A few crewmen up in the bow, all in blues uniforms and brass buttons and such. Fellas standing in the stern seats, holding the tiller. He's all decked out and wiped up. Brass buttons, brass all across his cap. Ain't never seen nothing like it. Must be one of them Yonson, says I. Chuck, 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 chuck. He's coming closer. Pretty soon I see he's gesticulating, waving his arms like this. See, well, I don't pay any no heed. Then I hear him holler. Move on out! He's hollering. Move on out there! And I see he's gesticulating me. Oh, Josiah, what you gonna do? Chuck, 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 chuck. He comes closer and closer. Move on out there, he hollers. I've been there all season. All season? Well, I looks around, ain't no more room along the wharf here. See, here's the old man now coming up the wharf. He sees the situation, puts his hands down in his pockets like this. See, he comes strolling out, peering straight across from me out that Gatsman coming our way. See, chug, 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 on he comes. Move on out, I'll cut you down, he hollers. Well, he's coming closer and closer, see? The old man ain't said a word. The old man jumps into the boat, see? Move on out! Hollers that fella. He goes to throw her in reverse, but she's got too much headway. She's coming right on, see? His two crewmen, he stands up, tries to fend off. Well, I grab the oar, throws her in the oarlock. Well, as I does that, catch the old man across the knuckles. Just like that, like a bolt of lightning. He reaches down, picks up a wooden boat bailer like this. He flings around, you see? I turns like this. He catches me in the fleshiest part of my anatomy. Knocks me into the bottom of the boat, you see? Next thing I hear, crunch, sure enough. The bow of that there launch comes to cut right through us, cut us near in two. Water's a gurgling in, and we comes jumping out up onto the wharf. That there giggity old man sinks to the bottom of the harbor. Well, he's a cussing and a hollering the two of them, see? Just what the old man told me, he ain't no sailors, that's for sure. Cut us down, he didn't mean to do it, neither. Well, he's a hollering and cussing. I tried to sit down, I can't even sit down, and I got to stand there. So much pain. Well, they heads on back to the town, see? Time goes by, they comes back my way, and the old man's counting out the money. Seems this feller paid them off. Seems this feller's none other than James Gordon Bennett, editor of the New York Herald, one of the most influential men in the country. And rich, shoot. He ain't no sailor, he got plenty of money, I expect. So it pays them off. Well, he's all good friends now. We jumps in that launch, he takes us all back to the wings when he's on our way. Everything's just fine. Some old Josiah Gardner can't sit down for 2 days. The idea of this whole tale here, you understand, is when an old man tells you to jump, you jump. If the old man says, stay there, boy, you stay there. And if you's going to get cut down in the meantime, then that's what happens. And it don't matter if it's a little two-sticker on the coaster, it's St. Nicholas. He does what the old man says. Well, so I was learning, you understand? That's the whole point to this. I was learning. Well, I meant to be a sailor. Had the first real scare in that there vessel, too. We was headed on back up the coast. Headed for Cape May, going running Cape May, see? Run up to Delaware Bay or something or other. I was on the wheel. We come down, a couple day run down from Montauk, you see. Take about a day and a half down Montauk, up into the bay. So about sundown, he's off Montauk light, and we see the light there at sundown. Sometime around sunrise, he's off Fire Island. See that light off in the distance? All you can see, he's offshore a bit. By sundown, well, we're on the, must have been 8 bells in the evening, see? He's coming up toward Cape May. Now, of course, there's lots of vessels coming in and out of the bay there. It gets mighty congested. And she's blowing about 35. We got 15-foot seas coming up abaft us. The nor'easter blowing. See, this year's late August, late October. Dirty nor'easter blowing down out of North Atlantic. See, and that's driving us down toward the Cape, driving us down. Well, of course, everybody else is below. See, eyes on the wheel. Got sole and body lashings around the wrist, around the ankles, keep the water out best I can. Got a lifeline over my shoulder, big vessel. Tied over my shoulder, lashed over here to a big stanchion. See, in case I get lifted off my feet by a board in the sea, away. I ain't going to wash overboard. What you does in them situations, 15-foot seas rise behind you. Plant your feet like this, see, and you grab that wheel. And for 2 hours, you trip on the wheel. 2 hours, you don't never move them feet. You don't never move them, because you know if you lift one, he's going to get thrown right overboard. And that's your right there wheels spinning like he's made of paper. You're playing 7 feet, you don't never move them. And it's all in your body, and in your hips, and in your knees. As you give it and take it with that vessel, she rises and drops. He's hanging on for your life. And you got them seas coming across like this, and he's throwing your head off the loop, throwing your head off the loop. So you got to give with it, and you got to haul back. And then another sea comes and knocks it over, and you got to haul back. You're hanging on the wheel, see? Just like you said, don't never move your hands. You give with it, and you haul back. After an hour, this whole backside of your arm here feels like it's going to bust right through your oil skin. You can feel them muscles just to break them through. Moves over in the hall back. Take you 2 days before you can move your hand. And you spike her, see, and then see a line coming loose over here, see. Watches yourself and you watches for a moment. You move them feet. You slide over, you hit that line. Hangs on the wheel with your left hand, see. Next thing you hear, BAM! Like that. Sure enough, jive ho, the whole dang rig comes swinging over your head. And you're tearing the sticks out of it. Fetching up the lure, snapping all that canvas, and you're bringing down the rig. She comes back behind you, and you grab her again, and she's falling off. The scuttle slides back, and the old man sticks his head up. See? He takes a look aloft, he sees what happened. It's all still there, thank the Lord. Don't do that again, boy, he says. I don't think she can take it. Aye, aye, sir. And he hangs on for another hour, and he's falling off, and he's hauling back. And he looks over there. As I say, there's plenty of traffic around. He looks over there, there's a steam tug coming by you. She's coming right towards you. Ain't that at all. It's just the sea and the foam. Looks like the deckhouse of a ship. See, it ain't her at all. And you settle back down. And you struggle more. Then you see lights cutting straight across the bow from port. You going to rain on them? No, he's just flying back and forth so much it looks like a ship. She's a mile away.